Let's continue with A Life of Salvation Part 2 as we're led by the Spirit of the Lord today. In Part 1, we spoke about why we needed salvation. And can we lose our salvation? And what it takes to maintain salvation. God freely gives us the gift of salvation and provides us free will so we can decide if we would accept or reject it. When Christ Jesus returns, he will determine if we were worthy of receiving God's salvation based on how we live. And though salvation is freely given, there is work to be done on our part so it grows in us and changes us. We have to exercise and work out our salvation so when Christ Jesus returns, he would find us worthy of receiving his full measure. See, God teaches us that if we disobey his word, his anger and wrath will come against those who walk in disobedience. Even in their rebellion, God demonstrates his compassion toward the Israelites through his love, grace, and mercy as he does with us, during our time of disobedience to get us to turn from our sinful ways. See, God loves us and he wants to forgive us of our rebellious ways. And we must comprehend how our sins and rebellious ways are affecting our relationship with God, affecting our health, affecting our families, affecting others, and affecting this earth. We have to see how rebellion is affecting our salvation with God. And many times God blots out our sins so he can accept us so we can experience his presence in our lives. And God needed someone to carry our weakness. Our religious leaders fell short of carrying God's will. God wants us to experience his salvation. He wants to redeem us. We need to repent of our sins, acknowledge our iniquities and transgressions, or obey God's commandments. See, God separated his people into two groups to at least to get one of them to obey his will. God rejected Israel and directed his love and passion towards Judea. But even Judea could not stay obedient to God's ways. See, God wants to provide prosperity, peace, and salvation to his people, but he requires for us to be obedient and faithful. So we must learn how God's salvation works. If we who are righteous start doing evil and we die, all the good things we've done will not be remembered by God. But if an evil person turns from their evil ways and becomes righteous, then the evil they did will not be remembered at all. And they will live. So you must fully understand God's judgment. So we don't think that God is unjust because he denies us salvation because we turned away from his will and way. Being rebellious and faithless will prevent us from living a life of salvation. We have to acknowledge our guilt and admit when we have rebelled against God. We have to confess when we refuse to listen and do God's will. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. See, living a rebellious life will undo all the good we've done in serving the Lord. It would undo all the work we've done on our salvation. We have to turn back to God, to the shepherd of our faith, and not rebel. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 11 to 15 says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Even faithless Israel is less guilty than this treacherous Judea. Therefore go and give this message to Israel.' This is what the Lord says, 'O Israel, my faithless people, come home to me again. For I am merciful. I will not be angry with you forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord your God and committed adultery against him by worshiping idols under every green tree. Confess that you refuse to listen to my voice, and I, the Lord, will have spoken.'" See, God wants nothing but the best for us. His hand is full of prosperity. We have to confess and repent of our sins, our rebellious ways. God has a plan to bring all those who scattered across the world back into his salvation. This is a great day of judgment and reconciliation that is coming. But if we continue to rebel, then great sorrow awaits us. See, we need to cry out to God with a sincere heart. We can't look to our own strength. We have to look to the Most High God for direction, instructions, and counsel, blessings and healing. See, as the Old Testament comes to an end, God had enough of our rebellious ways. We did not desire God's salvation like many are rebelling today. Religious leaders are taking payments for their service, teaching God's ways for a price, while claiming their dependence on God. That does not sound like what we see today. Has anything really changed about how we worship and seek God's salvation? We learn in Romans chapter 11 that if we remain rebellious, God will separate from us. But if we return to God and change our hearts to seek Him, He will accept us again. We must believe. We must listen to God's truth found in His Word so we don't drift away. So if we ignore God's plan of salvation for our lives and continue in rebellion, we will not escape God's punishment. Christ redeemed us, called us into Himself, provided a way for us to live with a clear conscience free of sin. And we're warned to watch out that we don't lose the reward we worked so hard to achieve. Don't wander away. Our relationship with the Father and our Lord Christ Jesus is at stake. Our salvation is at stake. Have you known someone or maybe been the type of person who ignores the advice of someone with understanding? This is what we do regarding God's salvation. We hear that it's very important, but we ignore the advice about receiving it and living in it. When the advice we ignore comes true, we look really bad. There's not much someone can do for a person who ignored godly advice. God wants us to be saved, but we are rejecting His life of salvation. So we must listen and pay attention. We have to exercise our salvation, putting it fully into use every day. Learning to exercise and get in shape takes much training. And we don't want to be found doing the wrong exercise or doing the wrong routine that never leads to us reaching the full goal of achieving the prize, which is the salvation of our soul. We need to exercise God's salvation so it's working for us. See, leaders who are instructed by God know not to lord over those who they are training. They understand that their faith is fragile. They have been trained in overseeing God's people through spiritual growth by the Spirit of the Lord. And just like Christ did not come to be served, but to serve, those called must do the same. We must exercise our faith and walk in the salvation we've been given. It's important that we, who say we are called, exercise our salvation faithfully, and we're able to teach others how to walk in God's salvation. Being properly trained means we know what to do and not do, so we don't cause others to become physically or spiritually damaged. As a person experiences training in salvation, they start knowing the difference between right and wrong. They know not to judge, not to condemn, or they will be condemned. They don't want to injure those who are working on their faith, who are working on their salvation while they're in training. And we don't want to be injured ourselves because we teach the wrong thing. See, our training teaches us to exercise our salvation by giving, knowing it's better to give than to receive. Our training teaches us that a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over, will be poured into our lives because we're faithful in the ways of God. Accountability comes with those who have entered into advanced training, who become mature and have begun to teach others about a life of salvation with God. Spiritual training teaches us that the measure we use in training others will be used to measure us. So we have to be careful in exercising our salvation, which brings freedom. So we'll become a stumbling block to the weak. When we exercise our salvation in front of those who are new believers or those who have not been properly trained in salvation, we have to be careful. We don't use our knowledge about God's salvation to destroy our sisters and brothers. We must be aware that the Lord is always watching. We can't do anything that causes our sisters and brothers to fall into sin. We can't exercise our freedom if it will harm others or cause others to fall short of God's glory. In exercising our faith in salvation and inspiring to do more for the Lord, we must live a life that is above reproach. As we take our position in the house of God, we have to remain faithful and exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. Exercising salvation is about being trained in the ways of God. We're not trained or exercising our salvation in vain. We've been trained in godly ways and in being godly. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. While there's nothing wrong with physical training and exercise, spiritual training is far much value in this life and the life to come. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 says, have nothing to do with godless myth and old wives' tales, rather than training yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come. Spiritual training is about working on our salvation, which allows us to think clearly, to look forward to the grace of salvation that Christ Jesus will reveal. So we can't be slipping back and forth into our old ways, satisfying our old sinful desires. We have been properly trained in God's salvation. So let us remember all the spiritual gifts we've received. Living a life of salvation allows us to live holy lives just as God has chosen and called us to live. We cannot think God's grace, which brings us into his salvation, is meaningless. We have an eternal comforter, the Holy Spirit, and we must live with hope in God's promises, which says that we will receive salvation when Christ Jesus returns. We only have to taste it now. We can taste it for ourselves. We can be confident in it now because the Holy Spirit gives us an example of what it means to walk in God's salvation, to live a life for God. We must live our lives in godly wisdom and righteousness and devotion. We've been born again, not by works, but by God's grace and mercy. And we must live in the confidence that our faith brings us through Christ Jesus. See, Christ understands what we're going through because he himself suffered, and yet he did not sin. He knows how to provide us grace when we need it the most as we work on our salvation. It's important that we're not divided between the cares of this world and God. See, God looks at our hearts and not our words to determine if we love him. Are we willing to live through his son, Christ Jesus? Are we willing to experience God's salvation while we're in a simple world? We're warned to stay alert. Satan is looking to deceive those who believe in God the Father and our Lord Christ Jesus, who's seeking a life of salvation with Christ. And we have to live a repentant life. So we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do great things in Christ Jesus, to give God glory. Producing godly fruit is just a result of us living a life of salvation. So we work every day being able to abide in Christ Jesus, demonstrating that there's no bitterness, no rage, no anger, no harsh words, no slander, no evil behavior, no sexual morality, no impurity or greed in us. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. Lord, help us with our salvation today. We live, Lord, a repentant life before you. Living a life of salvation trains us to be more kind and more compassionate, more forgiving, and exercising our faith in overcoming as we walk with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 32 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. Living a life of salvation will be apparent as we become tenderhearted and we become this forgiving and loving person. As we allow the Holy Spirit to train and teach us to control our behavior, control our ways, and control our tongue. See, Christ, he's divine. And a life of salvation is about us getting grafted into the vine and working to ensure we never get severed from the vine, working to produce what is required by the vine. We can't produce our own fruit. We can't replenish our own selves. We need to be placed in the vine, which holds our very lives and the salvation of our souls. See, the vine has all that we need. In the vine, there is peace and healing, prosperity, and love. Everything we need is in Christ Jesus, the vine of our life, the salvation of our soul. Living a life of salvation is about walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, being at peace with one another, seeking God's will, confessing and overcome our sins as God the Father and our Lord Christ Jesus reveals that which needs to be cleansed in us. So our salvation is made complete. See, the type of life we live will determine our final state in the Lord. We'll be seen as worthy of entering into the kingdom of God, to see the full measure of God's promises of salvation, or be told by the Lord that he never knew us. We need to work out our salvation in the Lord while we're still here, while we still have time, growing our faith to ensure we reach the goal of our maturity in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. God wants everyone of his creation to experience and receive his salvation. Praise the Lord. Christ is the truth, the way to God's kingdom and salvation. There is no other way. There is no other doctrine. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we like to believe the most important thing you can give us is prosperity and riches. We're missing the real prize that you're offering us, the salvation of our soul. Contained in the salvation of our soul is eternal life. It gives us everlasting life. Salvation is the means by which you and I enter into God's kingdom. We pass through judgment, and Christ Jesus grants us salvation. What a wonderful God we serve. He wants us to experience his salvation. It's better than gold. It's worth more than silver. We can't buy it. We can't pay our way in. We must serve. We must be good. We must demonstrate that the Holy Spirit has changed our hearts. The salvation for us is real. See, we're messed up today. We're thinking God is a God that gives nothing but prosperity, but God is trying to give us a greater gift than what we could ever buy on this earth. It's worth any kind of money, worth any house you may want, any car you may, any business you may want. See, you and I got to understand why we seek God. We don't seek God for materialistic things. We seek God for the salvation of our souls so we can have eternal life with him and the Father. So you and I need to get this right in our mind. All this preaching about prosperity, all this preaching about blessings, all this preaching, this is not the most important thing that God is offering you and I. Most important thing God is offering us is salvation of our soul from a sinful world, forgiveness of our sin, from all the things we've done. This is what God is offering you and I. A chance to live in his presence forever, to be for eternal blessed. Not just blessed on this earth, not just blessed with material. Lord, help us get a, Lord, we got to get this right in our mind while we seek you. We seek you, Lord, for the salvation of our souls, God. You are the one created us. You're the one that gave us entry into your kingdom of God. And you want us to be saved. You sent your son to redeem us. And yet we're still doing like we've done in the past. Preaching for money. Preaching for prosperity. Preaching to show somebody how to be successful in this life. But not preaching about your salvation. First, let us work on the most important thing in our life, and that is getting our life right with God. To have confidence that we're walking in the salvation of God in our lives. And then when the blessings come, see, we'll be able to do what's right because we've been trained in how to live our life worthy of salvation. Help us, Lord Jesus. We're struggling down here, Lord. We change your word into a word of prosperity. We change your word, Father God, into a word about here and now. We must seek eternity with God. Salvation of your souls, where all the things you went through on this earth will count for nothing because God will bless us with eternal life that you and I can't even comprehend today. It's more than you and I can even imagine today, but we must believe as Christians in the promises of God and what Christ Jesus has taught us about being eternal life with God, always and forever in the presence of God, always and forever blessed by God, always and forever healed by God, always and forever with God. This is the salvation of our soul. Help us, Lord Jesus, today. We must live it. It must be real. It has become our life. It has to be a life of salvation for you and I. So let us go out and live it. Demonstrate it day and night, overcoming our sin, thanking God for every day you and I can grow and get better. Every day we can mature in the Lord. Every day we have confidence in our salvation, God, because you're working it out in our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for all that you do for us, for the salvation of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.